Now we're holding up the bottom of Beis Amud Beis by the beginning of the Gemara. So we started the Mishnah discussing Shavuos Shtayim Shein Arba and then a number of other things that are Shtayim Shein Arba. So the first thing the Gemara asks, Mechti Tana Yimaka Solit. Let's consider that Tana has just finished, and we just finished, learning Masechta Makas, Mishna Datoni Shavuos. So why now are we bringing Masechta Shavuos? Now, there's a number of ways that Mephoshim have to understand the question, especially because, first of all, Tosfos points out that the Gemara elsewhere explains that across two Masechtas, Ein Seder, the Mishnah, there's not necessarily a Seder insofar as we have a concept called Machlokas V'achakach Stam, or Stam V'achakach Machlokas, when we have a Stam Mishnah on something in one place, and we have a Machlokas about it in a different place. If it's across two Masechtas, then we don't necessarily say, when it's within one Masechtas, and then we say whichever one comes first makes a difference. If the Machloikas comes and then the Sam, then it means that Rebbe later on decided, as he went through that Masechta, that the halacha should be like that opinion. If it's a Stam B'Achakach Machloikas, means the other way around. Across two Masechtas, the Gemara explains elsewhere, then there's no Seder for it. So that being the case, then Tosfos says, what is the Gemara asking? So Tosfos says that actually all it means is precisely as far as that point of Machloikas and Stam. But other than that, when Rebbe first taught the Masechtas, then he didn't necessarily teach them in any particular order, but afterwards he arranged them in an order, and therefore the Gemara can ask about that order. The Rimi Gash gives a different point on it, which is, we were just talking about Dinim of Malkus, so why are we now switching to matters of Korbanus? Whereas the Gemara is going to end up explaining the Shavuos Shtayim Shein Arba over here, we're mainly focusing on the fact that that a person is going to be chayav a korban, the korban or the yordah that we talked about yesterday, is going to be chayav for these four types of Shavuos. And he also adds, the Rimagash also adds, that even if we say Ein Seder L'Mishnah, you know, if we can find a reason for why it should be the way it is, then we should do that. The Gemara sometimes will try to do that, to try to see a reason for why one Masechta follows the other. If we can't find, we say that it means they're not necessarily in order. There are Mephoshim, in fact, who say that, that maybe what it means is, the Ritva adds in that regard, you might even have, or actually the Rimigash himself continues to add, that what you might even have is, they might know that this Masechta goes with this Masechta, but not necessarily which one goes first. In other words, for example, the Amoraim may have known already that Makas and Shavuos go together, but maybe one before the other, maybe the other before the first, but still that there is some connection between them. On top of that, also the Gemara does mention in Bava Kamma that kulu nizikin chodim masechta, that all of nizikin for this purpose is considered one masechta, and all of nizikin may mean all of seder nizikin, not just the three babas. So you have all of those and many other points that various mafurshim make. What exactly is the nature of the Gemara's question? So in any case, then that's the question. Why after Makas are we dealing specifically with Shavuos? And the answer is Mishum Datoni, because at the end of Makas, one of the last Mishnayos that we had was, we learned Chayev al Rosh Shtayim, a person is Chayev for shaving or cutting the payas of his head, Achas Mikan v'Achas Mikan, one on each side. And as far as the zoken, and as far as the beard, we said there are five altogether. Shtayim mikan va'achas milamata, two on each side of the face and one on the bottom. Which, as we learned there, I put a diagram on the WhatsApp group. We have the five different opinions among Rishonim. What exactly are those five places? Rashi over here is one of them. We had the Rivon there giving another. We had the Rambam, Rabbein Hananel. The Rashi has quoted in the Rosh. So a bunch of different opinions. Anyway, so in all those cases, chodanim chayiv ala tarti. So there you have one iser for which a person can be chayiv for multiple malchus. Because they're like we learned over there, if he shaves off both teis, a behel amachod, then he would be chayiv two malchus. And if he shaves off all five corners of the beard, not behel amachod would be chatas rather. Actually there's no chatas because there's no chorus involved. Sorry. We're talking about b'mezid. He cuts off both payas b'mezid, then he's going to be chayiv double malchus. If he shaves all five corners of the beard, or even though it was one hasara, he's going to be high five. He's going to be high five malchus. So we see that we have there where a person can be doing one iser and he's still high of multiple malchus for it. So in the same vein, Tana Shavuos Shteim Shein Arba. So in the same vein, then the Tana continues with the beginning of Masechta Shavuos, where we're talking about also where you have Shteim Shein Arba. You have multiple different types of Shavuah within a Shavuah. Like we said in the Mishnah, you have where a person makes a Shavuah. I will eat, or I won't eat, or I did eat, or I didn't eat. For example, two about the past, two about the future. So you also have multiple different ones within the same one, just as you have multiple different ones about the payas of the hair and the beard. Tosfos over here and other mafoshim over here and in Makkos deal at great length with various details in this. Tosfos deals with the question with the beard, the Gemara established over there that according to the Chachamim and the Halacha is like them, a person is chayiv only for shaving it with a razor, if he uses other kinds of tools, even kinds that destroy the hair, then he's not chayiv, and so therefore scissors would be mutter and malkut and rehit, not mutter, but at least it wouldn't be chayiv malkus, malkut and rehitni, various kinds of planes or tweezers or things like that would be in the same category. Does the same thing apply to the payas or not? Tosfos discusses that at some length over here. Other Rishonim also discuss that, as well as Tosfos also gets into the question that we dealt with briefly in the Gemara and Makkos, as far as the nikaf, the one who shaves off the payas or the beard is chayev. What about the one who has it done to him? So we learned there, actually, that Nikaf is Chayev, if he's Misayaya, if he helps, like, for example, tilting his head. So Tosfos has a long discussion about that. One interesting thing, actually, the Chassam Sofer points out, that makes a very direct connection. If we say that yes, then that makes a very direct connection between that Gemara and the beginning of Or Masechta, namely, that there you have, there's two that it says in the Torah, the payas and the beard. And then, but that's only the Torah only explicitly says that you shouldn't shave them yourself, makif, to learn that there's a nikaf as well as something that we learn from the psukim there, as we said. So you literally have shtayim shein arba, two things that are stated explicitly in the Torah. Don't shave your payas, don't shave your beard, and then two that we derive from that, don't allow your payas to be shaved, don't allow your beard to be shaved. So that explains why we do Shteim Shein Arba, and that explains also, why Mefarshim explained the point of the Gemara's question and answer is also that is why, granted that Masechta Shavuos belongs in the Seder, because ultimately, like we learned yesterday, the second half of the Masechta does deal with Shavuos that have to do with Dinei Momonos, Shavuos Ha'edus and Shavuos Ha'Pikadon. But the question is, why not put those first? And the answer would be because the Mishnah wanted to first put something where you have Shteim Shein Arba. You don't have, Tosfos pointed that out on Beis Amud Aleph, you don't have that by Shavuos HaPikadon or Shavuos HaEdus. So therefore, if we're going to say that there's going to be that the Tana is going to begin with something then which is Shteim Shein Arba, then the only choice is Shavuos Bitri. Then, though, having mentioned in the Mishnah also other Shteim Shein Arbas, one of which is Yediyas HaTumah, then it spends time in our Perek and the next Perek talking about the Dinim of that, and then it gets back to Shavuos Bitri, and then it gets to the various kinds of Shavuos that are relevant in Dinim Omnis. Okay. Which brings us to the next question. The Gemara says, "Maishna hocha de tana lahu lekulu." Why is it that here in Masechta Shavuos, it mentions all four of these things that are Shteim Shein Arba? Whereas in our Mishnah, we're mentioning about Shabbos, we're mentioning about Negoyim. Now you look at the beginning of Masechta Shabbos, you don't have all four of these things mentioned. You look at the beginning of Masechta Negoyim, you don't have all these four things mentioned. So why over here is it mentioning all four of them? And the answer is Amri, the answer is follows. Shavuos v'Yedias, because Shavuos and Yedias HaTumah have a direct connection between them. Degabi Hadadi Ksivin, because they're written one right after the other. And in Parshas Vayikra, you have the case of Shavuos HaEdus, which we'll deal with later in the Masechta. You have the case of Shavuos, after that you have the case of Yediyah Satruma, where the pasuk says a person was tomei the lo yoda and he didn't know the oshim and now he's guilty. And then you have oynefesh kishishavel of ativis fasaim. So back to back, the Torah talks about truma, about Yediyah Satruma, and about shavuos. And so they're not only listed one after the other in the pasuk. The damian ahadodi with korban olah v'yored. They're also similar to one another with both of them. There's korban olah v'yored, namely, unlike again most things that a person brings a korban for, most things are only, first of all, where there's Kodesh v'mezid. Here there is Kodesh v'mezid for a person who, for Tumas Mikdash v'Kodshav, there is not Kodesh v'mezid for a Shavua, for a false Shavua. Second of all, anyway, most times the chatas is a fixed chatas. It's always a female sheep or a female goat, and if he can't afford it, then he has to raise the money. By these three things, the Torah says, a korban olah v'yored, where it adjusts in value depending on how much he can afford. An animal, two birds, or a korban mincha, as the case may be. Therefore, Tony Lahu Gabi Adodi, so therefore it mentions the two of them together. Once it's mentioned in Shavuos, then it's a natural thing to also mention Yediyah Satruma together with it. But I did the Tana Tauti, and now, having mentioned two of them, Tana Kula, then it mentions the rest of them as well. Whereas Shabbos, in other words, you see at the Shabbos, Shayim Shein Arba, there's no direct connection between it and Shavuos, or Yediyah Satruma, or Negoyim, such that it should list the two of them together. And the same thing by Negoyim, you don't have any direct connection with any of the other three, so there's no reason in those places to list all of them. But here, we have to hear, it makes sense to list two of them, and once we have two, we might as well list all four. Tosfos points out, actually, there is a similarity when it comes to Negoyim. You also have, as we had in this past week's parasha, where you have also the value of his korban is adjustable. A rich Mitzorah brings three animals, and a poor Mitzorah brings one animal and two birds. But Tosfos points out, that's true, but you don't have the three-tier thing, like you have by the korban olah v'yored, by the Tumas Mikdash v'Kodshav, and Shavuos HaPikadon, and Shavuos Vitui, all of those, you have three tiers, rich, medium, and poor. Osher, Dal, and Dalei Dalos, it calls them in Gemara terminology. By the Mitzvot, you only have two, there's Osher and there's Dal. So therefore, so it's not similar enough to have by Negoyim, it's not similar enough by Negoyim to bring in the other ones. Fine. Now the Gemara asks, here's another question. Posach, this is which we already dealt with outside, but now here's where the Gemara actually asks it. Posach b'shavuos m'farash yediyah satruma. The Mishnah starts by saying, shavuos shtayim shein arba, but then it doesn't continue explaining all about the shavuos. Instead, it leaves those for the third perek, m'farash yediyah satruma. The whole rest of the Mishnah, which is actually the rest of the Mishnayos of the perek, deals with yediyah satruma. So why is that? And the answer is, I did a zutra in Milai, because the matters of Yediyah Satruma, there's very little of them. There's only these two prakim. It's not really dealt with anywhere else. Posik shari lahu, so it finishes all of them off and lets them go.
My question yesterday that I asked you.
Right. So here's the answer then. You asked why Yediyah Satruma is here b'chlal rather than being in Seder Kodeshim. The Gemara's answer here is not really dealing with that. If it was going to put it in Seder Kodeshim, the answer is there's not really enough material to put it. It doesn't really belong particularly in any Masechta in Kodeshim more than anywhere else. What we're saying is, the question was rather over here, given that we are going to have them in our Masechta, because again, they do have a similarity to Shavuos, why are they being dealt with first before we deal with matters of Shavuos? And so the answer is, because there's very little of them. What?
My question.
Yeah, okay, it's a similar
two
question.
Two questions. Number one, okay. Why does Shavuos belong to Korbanos belong to Shavuos? And number two, why it starts with...
Why it starts with is what the Gemara is dealing with over here. The fact that it's here at all is basically because, as the Gemara said, it is related in a way to Shavuos, being dealt with in the same place and having the same kind of korban. And then, here's a good place to talk about it. And then, once we have them, we're going to mention them first because they're short. Because it's very little. Posik shari lahu, so it finishes off and lets them go. And then it talks about Shavuos, which is going to have a lot to talk about, which is going to cover the rest of the Masechta. Tosfos points out, when you get down to it, Shavuos Bitui is even shorter. We're going to have Yediyah Satruma is going to cover the first two Prakim, and then Shavuos Bitui is going to cover only one Perek, the third Perek. But nevertheless, once we talk about Shavuos in general, Then we have Shavuos Vitri, but we also have Shavuos Ha'edus, which takes up a parak, and we have Shavuos HaPikadon, which takes up four parakim. So therefore, altogether in aggregate, you have a lot more to talk about Shavuos than you do about Yedias HaTumah, and therefore Yedias HaTumah is disposed of first. Okay, fine. So that explains the order of the Masechtas, why this Masechta comes after Makkos. This explains the order of the topics within the Masechta. Now let's get into the actual nitty-gritty of what the Shtayim Shein Arba are in each case. The Mishnah just said Shtayim Shein Arba without specifying. So let's explain what they are. Shavuos Shtayim Shein Arba is as follows. Shtayim Shtayim, the basic two of Shavuos, is Sh'oichal v'shaloi oichal. A Shavuos, for example, that I will eat, or a Shavuos that I won't eat. Where the Torah clearly says, lahora or lahetiv, that a person makes a shvur to do something bad to himself or to do something good for himself. So the good would be, for example, I will eat. And the bad would be, I won't eat. A couple of the Rishonim discuss a nuance in that. Why is it the Pasuk mentions lahora first, and here the Mishnah, and here the Gemara is mentioning the good thing first, shachalti. So one thing is, in other words, the Rosh points out, after all, we're talking about, let's say, that he violated a Shavua. If he didn't violate a Shavua, then we have nothing to discuss. So therefore, if he made a Shavua, I will eat, and then he doesn't eat, then there's the Lahara. If he swears that I won't eat, and he does, then there's the Lahetiv, so therefore it does follow the order of the Pasuk. That's how the Rosh says it. And the Ritva says, listen, I mean, you know, you always have the expression in the Gemara is always hein kodem lalav. You always have the positive before the negative. So therefore, in Gemara terminology, we're going to put the oichal before the lo yoichal. Fine. So that's the basic two. Shehein arba. How do they come into four? Would be ochalti v'shaloy ochalti. He swears that I did eat when in fact he didn't, or that I didn't eat when he did. So there's your two. So in other words, you have two, which are four. The reason it doesn't just say four straight out is you mean two that we have clearly from the pasuk, and two more that we derive from limudim. Tosfos points out, by the way, that the Gemara soon is going to discuss the question. We have the opinions of Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva on that subject, where Rabbi Shmuel says that a person is not chayev for a shvuah in the past. So why couldn't the Gemara find that there's a different way of doing the four? And the answer is because in the third parak, when we start talking, when we get into the dinim of Shavuos Vitri, the Gemara is clearly going to say, the Mishnah is clearly going to say over there that you have a chalti, a shaloi chalti, and that Mishnah is coming to explain ours. So therefore, the Gemara is saying that the Gemara is using that already as the explanation of our Mishnah. And we'll talk about, can our Mishnah be made to work according to Rabbi Shmuel, as we'll see soon. Fine. That's as far as Shavuos. Yedias HaTumah, Shtayim Shein Arba. When we said that Yedias HaTumah are two, which are four, again, that means there's two basic ones and two that we derive from them. It's almost like Ovis and Toldos, in other words, just the same way as by Malachos or Shabbos. You have Ovis and Toldos, you have other areas of Malacha where you have such things as well, so some of these things are almost like that as well. So what do we have by Yedias HaTumah? Shtayim, the basic two are Yedias Tumas Kodesh, the Yedias Tumas Mikdash, where the person knew that he was the person knew that he was Tomei, the person knew that he was Tomei and then forgot that he was Tomei and ate Kodesh or went into the Beis Hamikdash, and then remembered again afterwards, Shehein Arba, Kodesh or Mikdash, and the resulting four is where he knew all along that he was Tomei, but he forgot that these are Kodeshim or forgot that this is the Beis Hamikdash. Later on, by the way, we're going to deal with the question, what kind of non-knowledge are we talking about? Are we talking about that he never knew the concept of Kodshim in the first place, like a Tidik Shanishva? Are we talking about where he knew of them, but he didn't know that this particular meat is Kodshim? Same way with the Bismikdash. Are we talking about this as a person who never saw the Bismikdash in his lifetime and had no idea that this building was part of it? Or are we talking about that he knew that there's a concept of a Bismikdash and he just forgot? We'll deal with that later in more detail in the next parak. So that's the Shtayim Shein Arba by Yedias HaTumah. Next, Yitzias Shabbos Shtayim Shein Arba. What are the two which are four by Shabbos? Hotzah De'oni V'Hotzah De'Balabayis. Shtayim Hotzah De'oni V'Hotzah De'Balabayis. The basic two are the Oni taking something out of Rosh Hashanah Yachid and putting it down in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, again, like we learned yesterday, Oni and Osher, Oni and Balabais, are just being used as shorthand for the person outside and the person inside. So the basic two are, since the Pasuk says, Al Yetzi Ishim Mekoymer, and we dash in from that, that it means a person, not only it means a person should not go out of his place, as in not go out of the Tchum, but it also means Al Yetzi, it also means a person should not take out from his place. There we learn the concept of Haitzah, the concept of Achnosa, you don't really have explicitly in the Psukim. The Gemara just says, Mali Hitzah, Mali Achnasa, they're both the same thing. You're transferring from one Rishus to another. So the basic two are the person standing outside and picking up something from inside through the window and putting it outside, or Vaitzah de Balabais, or the other way around, the person inside taking something from inside and putting it down outside. Shehein Arba, and which result in four, because you have Achnasa de Ani, Achnasa de Balabais. Yeah, where the Oni is bringing something in, where the other way around, we take something from Rosh Hashanah Rabbim and puts it down inside, inside the house, into the Balabais' hand, to use the example that the Gemara brings there in Mishnayos Shabbos, of Achnosa the Balabais, or the other way around, where the Balabais takes something from outside, from the Oni's hand, let's say, and brings it inside and puts it down. So there's your Shayim Shein Arba. Maris Negoyim, Shnayim Shein Abba. What are the two which are four when it comes to Maris Negoyim? So you have Shnayim, the basic two, are Se'es or Baheres, where the Pasuk says, where a person has a Se'es or Baheres, over and over, in last week's parasha. And those are the basic two, Shehein Arba, and they result in four, because you also have the Pasuk says Sapahas, which means a secondary one, which means Se'es V'Toldos. So you have the Se'es as well as its Tolda, which is a slightly duller shade of white, Baheres V'Toldos, and then you have Baheres, which is, and its secondary one. So you have the Baheres itself is like snow. We have different opinions of Tanoim and Mishnayos Negoyim over there, but the halacha is that the Baheres is the color of pure snow, of a pure white snow. The Sapachas, the tolda of it, is the color of the plaster that they used in the Bais Mikdash, which was a very white plaster. The Gemara elsewhere mentions that regular plaster, they would often mix sand with it to make it stronger, therefore it wouldn't be quite so white, as opposed to the one they used for the Bais Mikdash was made just out of limestone and it was fairly white, but not quite as intense white as the whiteness of snow. And then as far as Se'es and its tolda, Se'es is like clean wool, and the tolda of it is like the membrane on the inside of an eggshell.
The membrane is what you peel off.
So what you have is you have the eggshell so you have the eggshell, and then inside the shell you have a membrane. You have a thin membrane that lines the inside of the shell. You can see it especially when you have a hard-boiled egg, for example.
That membrane when it's dry or when it's wet?
That I don't know. The pashtus when it's dry, but I don't know.
It's wider when it's dry.
When it's dry, wider when it's dry. So the pashtus, that's what we're talking about. Yeah. So that's probably what we're talking about, yeah. And you have the opinion of Rabbi Meir, who says the other way around, that the Se'es itself is like the egg, is like the egg membrane, and the tolda of it is like wool, but whatever, anyway. So there's your two, which are four. The Mishnah actually there in Negoyim mentions other opinions that have many, many more shades of Tzadas, but that's because the Mishnah explains over there. Mephoshim on the Mishnah explains. First of all, you have the Pasuk itself tells us that aside from white, you can also have where there's reddish white. We have a little bit of red mixed into it as well. There's also a color of Tzadas, plus once we consider also, you have the various shades of Tzadas of clothing and of houses and whatnot. So you have even as many as the Tosfos brings on Beis Amar Aleph, you have an opinion over there, Akavi ben Mahalalo, that says that you have as many as 72. Because once you add in all the various possible shades and sub-shades and different things that Tzadas can appear on and so forth, then you have many more. But the basic are two, which are four. Tosfos over there also, by the way, deals with the point. All the other ones, we had Shtayim, Shehen Arba, Beloshin Nekeva. Here we have Mar Ois Negoyim, Shnayim, Shehen Arba'a. Because it says Mara is Loshen Zohar, unlike all the other ones. Yitzia is Loshen Nekeva. Yediyah is Shavua. Yediyah, Yitzia, or Loshen Nekeva. Mara, he explains, Tosfos explains, is Loshen Zohar. Now,
exception to a rule of A and Sof at the end of the word.
Well, because it's Mara, there are certain words that end with a hey or a Sof, and they're still Loshen Zohar. Bias is an example.
Do they have a rule of their own?
I don't know if they have a rule of their own or what it is, but Tosfos points out that, for example, you have a passage where Moshe sees by the snares, Mara HaGodol HaZeh, and then you see it's HaGodol, not HaGdolah.
Maybe because it has a segel under the aleph.
If it has a segel, well, they're in Parshas Shmos. I think it is with a comet. So I think it is with a comet. I can't remember just now. Okay. Fine. Now that we went through all of that, now that we went through the various linguistic things and the basic definitions of the Mishnah, now let's get into Mani Masnissin, who is our Mishnah like? On the face of it, Loi Rabbi Shmuel v'lo Rabbi Akiva. On the face of it, our Mishnah does not seem to work according to either Rabbi Shmuel or Rabbi Akiva. Namely, E Rabbi Shmuel, because if our Mishnah went like Rabbi Shmuel, for Omar, he says later in our Masechta, that when it comes to a Shavua, now you have, within a Shavua, you have we're going to distinguish as we go through, there's Shavua Shav and there's Shavua Sheker, but we also said there's Shavua in the past and Shavua in the future, and Rabbi Shmuel holds, Ein Chayev El Al Osid Lavoi. Rabbi Shmuel holds, a person is Chayev a Korban only for Shavua in the future. So he makes a shvua, I will eat. And in the end, he doesn't end up eating, then he's chayav a korban ola b'yorid for it, and vice versa. So you don't have the shehin arba over here, because you only have the shtayim, which is where he swears that I will eat or I won't eat. But we said the shehin arba is where it could be, where I did eat or I didn't eat. I did do such and such or I didn't do such and such, and according to Rabbi Shmuel, it's not chayav a korban for that. So that part of the Mishnah doesn't work like Rabbi Shmuel. E Rabbi Akiva, and if you're going to say, our Mishnah is like Rabbi Akiva, for Omar, Al Helam Tumahu Chayev, Ve'in Chayev, Al Helam Mikdash. We said that the Shtayim Shein Arba by Yedias, the basic two is where he forgot that he was Tomei, and then the Shehein Arba is where he forgot that this is Kodesh, or this is the Mikdash. Rabbi Akiva says in the next parak that he's only Chayev if he forgot that he was Tomei, but not if he forgot or didn't know that this was the Bis Mikdash. So according to him, you have the Shtayim, and you don't have the Shehein Arba. So how does our Mishnah work? Our Mishnah that says Shtayim Shein Arba by both Shavuos and Yedias HaTumah doesn't seem to work out according to either one of them. So the Gemara answer is no. Iboi Semer Rabbi Shmuel, Iboi Semer Rabbi Akiva. No, you could actually make it work according to either one of them. You could say our Mishnah goes like Rabbi Shmuel as follows. You're asking, what about though that the Shehein Arba doesn't seem to work according to Rabbi Shmuel because he holds that there's no korban for Shavuos Bitri L'Sha'ovar, for Shavuos Bitri of the past? Because you can say what he means is that there's Shtayim Shehein Arba, he doesn't mean a person's Chayim all for them. Mehen L'Chiyuv, Mehen L'Ptur. He means some of them a person will be Chayim for and some of them may be Ptur for. There are in fact four cases. Rabbi Shmuel does agree there exists a case where a person says, where a person swears I ate or I didn't eat, as the case may be. He's just saying that the person is not chayav korban for that. So fine, shtayim shein arba. Of the various kinds of shavuos bitui, two of them he'd be chayav korban for, shein arba, which are four, of which of those four altogether, two he's chayav korban and two not. The boy same with Rabbi Akiva. Same way, you could say the Mishnah goes according to Rabbi Akiva. What about with Yedias HaTumah? He says two of them a person is not chayav for. So, fine, the same thing. Mehen l'chiyuv, mehen l'chiyuv, mehen l'ptur, same thing. Of the Yedias HaTumah, Rabbi Akiva is going to say two of them, where he forgot that he was Tomei and entered the Beis HaMikdash or ate Kodshim, then he's going to be Chayav HaKorban or the Yerd, and two of them where he remembered that he was Tomei, but forgot that this is Kodshim, or forgot that this is the Beis HaMikdash, then he's going to be Potter. So you could do like that. So you don't have to say that it means that all of them he'd be chayav, that all of them he'd be chayav a korban. It may mean that some of them he'd potter from a korban. Which Tosfos says, listen, you know, I mean, you would ask in that case, it's poshut. Obviously, we can construct all those cases ourselves. Fine, but the point would be just to be aware that a person has done an isser. So fine. But you want to ask the lepturer, what do you mean? You could say that some of them are meant that he's potter. After all, the Mishnah is mentioning it together with Maris Negoyim. Now, with all four Maris Negoyim, he's Chayev, meaning he becomes Tomei, and eventually he's going to have to bring a Korban. The same way over here, all of them have to be for Chiyuv. Otherwise, why is the Mishnah putting them together? It's not only putting them together because they're Shayim Shein Arba, it's putting it because a person is Chayev, but all four of them are on an equal level, so just like it is with Negoyim, so it should be with Shavuos and with Yedias HaTumah. Tosfos points out also. I mean, so you could say, you know, as far as Yetzias HaShabbos as well, actually, the Gemara is going to point out when it deals with this briefly later on in a couple of blocks, that the fact that by Yetzias HaShabbos, all of them mean that we're talking about a Chiyuv Daraisa, and we're Chayev Achatas, is we learn that from the connection with Maris Negoyim. So ultimately, they're all dependent on Maris Negoyim, where all of them, a person is equally well Tomei, and eventually Chayev to bring a Korban, and so it has to be with all of the cases in the Mishnah. So how can you say some of them are Chayev and some of them a potter? So the answer is La'olam Rabbi Shmuel. We're going to answer that after all, our Mishnah does go specifically according to Rabbi Shmuel. V'chila mechayev Rabbi Shmuel l'sha'av a korban, because you could say maybe our Mishnah is not talking about the chiyuv of a korban at all. That Rabbi Shmuel was being mechayev him for a korban only he's not mechayev l'sha'av for a korban. He says again that a person says that in the past I ate or I didn't eat. And it turns out the other way around, then we're going to say that he's potter from a korban. Because Shmuel learns from the psukim that there's no chiyuv for the shalver. Avol malchus chiyuv mechayev, but you could say Rabbi Shmuel would still say that he might well be chayev malchus. So our Mishnah is not talking about where he did it b'shoigig and we're talking about a korban. We're talking about where he did it b'mezid and he's chayev malchus. Namely the chiddur rova. In which case, our Mishnah would be our Mishnah's understanding of Rabbi Shmuel would be following Rava's point. The Amar Rava, the Feder Shiribsa Torah Shavuos Sheker Dumya the Shavuos Shav. Namely, Rava says later on in the Masechta. The question is like this, in other words. You're telling me he's going to get Malkus for a Shavuos Bitui, L'Sha'avar. The question is why? Isn't it a Lav She'en by Maisa? And a Lav She'en by Maisa, a person doesn't get Malkus for. So now, Rava explains like this. Further on in the Masechta, when we get into this matter of Shavuos Bitui, we're going to distinguish, we're going to talk about the Shavuos Shav and the Shavuos Sheker. A Shavuos Shav is where he swears about something completely useless. For example, Rashi brings the examples from there. Let's say he looks at a man and swears that he's a woman. Whether that would apply nowadays, where people try to claim all kinds of mix-ups with that, I don't know. But in any case, so we're talking about something that's definitely a dua, something that's very obvious. Another example would be he swears on a stone that's gold. Then that would be another example of a shvuas shav. Shav, Rashi points out, means something that's completely useless. It's useless to make such a shvua because it's very obvious that it's false. Now, then you have, on the other hand, Shavuos Sheker. A Shavuos Sheker is one where it does turn out to be false, but it wasn't so obvious at the time. So like this, you have the Gemara later on explains that since the Pasuk says, how does it say in the Aser Sedivos, Lois Sisa Shem Hashem Alakracha Lashov, Kilo Yenaka Hashem Esa Sheyisa Shemay Lashov. So it mentions twice the word Shav, and it mentions Kilo Yenaka Hashem, that Hashem will not cleanse him. From which we learn, the Gemara explains, that Beis Din has an obligation to cleanse him. They have to give him Malkus, and that way cleanse him of the Avera. Because, in other words, without that, he's going to be punishable by Hashem. So instead, the Gemara explains, Beis Din is responsible to deal with the matter and give him Malkus. So now the Gemara goes on to say that works by a Shavuos Shav, because the Pasuk says, this is Hashem Hashem HaKachal HaShav. How do we know? It applies to a Shavuos Sheker as well. So the answer is, because since it says LaShav twice, so we use one of them for a Shavuos Sheker. So now Rava explains over there that means it means only that we're talking about a Shavuos Sheker L'Sha'avar. As soon as he swore it, it was already false. Because as soon as he swears, I ate, and in fact he didn't eat, then it was like L'Sha'av. So it's Sheker in the sense that it wasn't so obvious to everybody who's listening that it was false, but nevertheless, the fact is, as soon as it was made, it was a false Shavuor. As opposed to the Shavuor L'Habba is not necessarily going to be false after all in the first place, because after all, saying, I will eat. He could fulfill it and end up eating. So Rava is saying, in other words, that when we have the limud over there to say that there is, that Shavuos Shav and Shavuos Sheker are in the same category, that means, Rava says, specifically we're talking about a Shavuor L'Sha'avar, a Shavuor about something that happened in the past, where then there is similar to a Shavuos Shav in the sense that as soon as he made that Shavuor, already it was false, as opposed to the other kind of Shavuor, L'Habba, which was only going to be false later on, later on as things go on. Tosfos discusses over here a number of points in that, but there are relevant other opinions about that in the Gemara over here, about the definition of Shavuos Shav versus Shavuos Sheker. Therefore, Tosfos works to reconcile and make that work with our Gemara over here, that was saying that again, that a Shavuos Bitur, the Shavar, is automatically considered Sheker, as opposed to, there's another opinion over there that says that it may not be, could be considered Shavuos Shav. Tosfos also deals with the point that the Gemara also brings a drosha of Rabbi Yochanan, that just the fact that it says Lashov is twice, it tells us Shavuos Shav and Shavuos Sheker. So even without Rava say, even without what Rava is telling us, you would know there's Malkus for both of them. What we're saying is the question is that the question really is Tosfos reinterprets the question of the Gemara to say when it's in the past, then sure we can say he's getting Malkus for it, because again, as soon as he said it, it's false. But how do we know? Why would Rabbi Shmuel be saying, according to what we're saying now, that he'd get Malkus for Shavua in the future, where it's a Lav Shein Menaisa, and therefore so we're bringing in Rava basically in order to demonstrate that he does get Malkus for one Lashavar, and then the Gemara is going to go ask, what about Lahabo? So then yet another point Tosfos points out is, since you have it's true that by the Dibra of Loisisa it says Lashav both in Parshas Yisra and in Parshas Vayeshanan, but you have a different Dibra over there about Edus Sheker Loisana Baracha Ed Shoker in Yisra Loisana Baracha Ed Shav in Parshas Vayeshanan, which tells us therefore that Sheker and Shav can be considered the same kind of thing. So even though there it's talking about as far as Edom, but we also can use it as far as Shavur. So that would be another meaning of what Rava means when he says Befeder Shulub Satora Shavuos Sheker. The Torah is clearly telling us, whether because of the double expression Shav, or whether because the Torah is equating Shav and Sheker, that a Shavuos Sheker is similar to a Shavuos Shav. Ma Shav l'Shav, just like a Shavuos Shav is about something in the past, namely he's saying, for example, this thing which everybody has known until now as stone is really gold. Af Sheker Nam l'Shav, the same way a Shavuos Sheker, the definition, when you get Malkus, is one, where it was Lashavar, where it was in the past. So he's saying that I ate, and in fact he didn't eat. So we can say that Rabbi Shmuel does in fact say that he is Chayav Malkus for that kind of thing, and therefore on Mishnah, when it says Shtayim Shein Arba, can be referring not to Shogig and a Korban, but rather Mazid and Malkus. The question is, then, Bishlema Achalti V'lo Achalti Kidurava. Okay, so Rava's case covers Rava's statement covers the case of Achalti over V'lo Achalti. Shaloi Oichal V'oichal Nami, Lav Sheyesh B'maisehu. And as far as Lahaba, fine, if he swears that I won't eat, and he does eat, then fine, he's going to get Malkus independent of what Rava is saying, because the Lav Sheyesh B'maiseh, because he made a shvua which now he falsified by eating. Ella, oichal, v'loy oichal, but you need four cases. The fourth case where he swears that I will eat and he doesn't end up eating, amai, why is he getting Malkus? Lav she'en b'maisa, who isn't it a lav she'en b'maisa? And a lav she'en b'maisa, a person does not get Malkus for. As we learned over there, since the pasuk says that one of the psukim they say while a person is getting malchus, im loisishmer lasos, if you don't guard to do what Hashem says, then Hashem is going to bring blows upon you. So we learn from the word lasos that it has to be lav sheyesh b'maisa, and if not, then there's no malchus. So if you're going to say that our Mishnah is like Rabbi Shmuel, so if you're going to say that our Mishnah, that part of the Mishnah is like Rabbi Akiva, and we're talking about Korbanos, then fine. All four cases Rabbi Akiva holds, you bring a Korban. But we're trying to say the Mishnah now is going like Rabbi Shmuel, in order to make the part about Yedias HaTumah work. So that would mean that, and again, according to Rabbi Shmuel, so far we're saying that he's not Chayav a Korban for all four cases. Therefore, we have to apply it to the case where he's getting Malkus. Well, so far, it seems, based on everything we said so far, that only in three out of the four cases is Rabbi Shmuel being Chayav and Malkus, and the fourth one not, because it's a Lav Shein Memaisa. And the answer is Chasov Rabbi Shmuel, Lav Shein Memaisa, Loikin Olav. Fine, Rabbi Shmuel holds that a person could get Malkus for a Lav Shein Memaisa. So therefore, so that covers the fourth case. Well, the question is, Yehochi Kasha de Rabbi Yochanan de Rabbi Yochanan. If you're going to say like that, the problem is that creates a contradiction between creates a contradiction between two statements of Rabbi Yochanan. The Amr Rabbi Yochanan halacha for stam mishnah, because Rabbi Yochanan says that the rule is the halacha is like a stam mishnah, such as our mishnah, which is our mishnah. The itmar, but we have a different din. If a person says shvur sha'ochel kikar zu hayom, he makes a shvur that I will eat this loaf of bread today. But over hayom v'la'ochla, and the whole day passes. And he doesn't eat it. Actually, before we get to that point, it actually brings up a point like this. There was a girsa in some manuscripts of the Gemara that said that the Gemara had pointed out, before it gets into the question of Rabbi Yochanan, the Gemara had pointed out that there's a contradiction from a statement at the beginning of Perek Elohein Elokim, the third Perek of Makkos that we just finished. Namely, that the Gemara says over there that Rabbi Shmuel, in fact, that Rabbi Shmuel does not give Malkus for Lav Shein Memaisa from those words in Loisishma Lassus. Because it says it's called Divra Torah Azois, so he learns that it applies throughout the Torah. The way the Gemara says it over there is that we would say, according to Rabbi Shmuel, he might be Chayav Malkus for Lav Shein Memaisa, and the answer is, since it says Lassos, then not. So now in our Gemara, there was a Gusa that said, in that case, how could you say that Rabbi Shmuel holds that Lav Shein Memaisa, he gets Malkus when the Gemara there in Makkos is saying that not. Rashi says this comes from a Talmud Toya, this comes from a mistaken Talmud. You can be sure that mistaken Talmud knew a lot more Gemara than we do, but nevertheless, he pointed out on the margin of his Gemara that how could the Gemara be saying over here that Rabbi Shmuel gives Malkus for Lav Shein Memaisa when the Gemara says over there that he does not? But Rashi says that's not a problem because the Gemara is not actually saying that Rabbi Shmuel holds that way. The stomach of Gemara over there is bringing that point up. Rabbi Shmuel doesn't necessarily have to hold that way. The Gemara is using that as part of the discussion to figure out what Rabbi Shmuel actually holds. So therefore, the question doesn't really belong in our Gemara. Tosfos says that actually you still could keep it in because the Gemara mentions over there that Rabbi Shmuel holds that even a person who's Chayav Misas based in would still be getting Malkus. In the course of that, the Gemara mentions the point that Rabbi Shmuel holds that a Lav Shein Memaisa, a person does get Malkus, so it may well be that Rabbi Shmuel doesn't get Malkus, so therefore it may well be, it's not just the Sugya de Gemara, but that the Gemara actually does conclude over there that Rabbi Shmuel does hold that. In addition, also Tosfos points out that part of what Tosfos had gotten into over there, had gotten into a little bit earlier, about how our Gemara fits with the one later in the Masechta, is to say that only in this case did Rabbi Shmuel hold that he gets Malkus, because of the twice that it says Lashav, but in other cases he would agree that not. So it's not really a question from there. There the Gemara is saying that in general Rabbi Shmuel holds Lav Shein Memaisa, a person does not get Malkus, but here, we're saying especially because it says Lashav twice, and he does, so fine, then it's not really such a question. The Gemara does say, but aside from that, even whether we have the question from Makkos or not, we do have a question from another thing in Makkos, namely what Rabbi Yochanan said. So again, the Amr Rabbi Yochanan aloch kastam mishnah. On the one hand, Rabbi Yochanan tells us that the halacha is like a stam mishnah. Therefore, the halacha ought to be like our mishnah, because there's shayim shein arba, a person gets malchus for all four of them. But the itmar, but we also have a discussion, shvur sha'ichol kikar zu hayom, person makes a shvur that I will eat this loaf of bread today. V'over ayon v'la'ochla, the whole day passed and he didn't end up eating it. Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish, Da'am Tavayu any loika. Now Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish both agree that he doesn't get Malkus, but for different reasons. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Einu Loika Mishum to have a Lav Shein Memaisa. Rabbi Yochanan says because a Lav Shein Memaisa, because it's a passive thing. He was supposed to eat it. He didn't eat it. So therefore, it's no Maisa. The whole Lav Shein Memaisa in Loika Nolav, and therefore he doesn't get Malkus. So far, that would be the contradiction. If you're going to tell me our Mishnah goes like Rabbi Shmuel, and that Rabbi Shmuel is Machayev Malkus even for a Lav Shein Memaisa, then how is Rabbi Yochanan saying Halacha Kastam Mishnah? But before we get to that answer, let's first deal with the other part of the machlokas. Rish Lakish Amar Ein Eloika. Rish Lakish says there's a different reason why he doesn't get malchus. Rish Lakish is not necessarily concerned about the matter of lav shein me'maisa, but he has a different point. Hasras Safaki, because it says it's Hasras Safak. We learned about this in Makkos that you have. There was a machlokas there, Rabbi Yechon and Rish Lakish, about when they give a person hasra for something we don't know whether the action that he's going to do is going to make him chayiv malchus or not. Namely, we know that asra has to be given tushka de dibur. So now, they can't give him asra, let's say, at 10 o'clock in the morning, you better eat this bread today, you're going to be chayiv malchus. What do you mean? I have all day to eat it. And if I don't eat it by the end of the day, then I have the ability to say that I forgot your asra. It's not tushka de dibur anymore. So now they're going to give different times during the day, they're going to give masra. There can't be, they're not really going to be able to find an exact moment where there's just enough time for him to be able to eat it during the rest of the day. And if not, then he's going to be chayav malchus versus where it's already too late in the day. There's not enough time left in the day for him to eat it anyway. But kedei achilas pras is just the maximum amount of time he has to eat it, but he could eat it faster than that. So yes, so there's no way, in other words, a coin should have. Now, Rabbi Yochanan doesn't care about that, because we learned over there, in Makkos, Rabbi Yochanan doesn't worry about that. He holds Hasra, Safik is a valid Hasra. But Rabbi Rish Lakish, who holds that not, he says that's the reason why in this case he can't get Malkus, because as a practical matter, there's no time to give him the Hasra when it's going to be a valid Hasra, when there's not going to be a Safik on it. So therefore, so if Rabbi Yochanan holds that a person does get malchus for, if Rabbi Yochanan holds a person does not get malchus for lav she'en me'maisa, then according to him, how can we say that our Mishnah, if we're going to make our Mishnah work according to Rabbi Shmuel and say we are talking about him getting malchus for lav she'en me'maisa, namely again, where he said, I will eat this bread, and he doesn't eat it, which is precisely the case where Rabbi Yochanan is saying he's not getting malchus. But our Mishnah is, if you're going to make our Mishnah go according to Rabbi Shmuel, who says that he, and you're going to say that Rabbi Shmuel is saying he does get malchus in this case, then what does Rabbi Yochanan hold? The answer is, fine, you do have our Stam Mishnah, but Rabbi Yochanan stomach rina ashkach. Rabbi Yochanan found a different Stam Mishnah which he could use to say, fine, if you have two Stam Mishnahs, one against the other, then fine, that's not our problem to worry about why it is they contradict one another. You can say Rebbe changed his mind at some point or so forth, but at least you have one Stam Mishnah versus a Stam Mishnah which will support Rabbi Yochanan, and therefore we're not worried about that our Stam Mishnah will contradict him. So now we have to figure, hey, Stama, which Stam Mishnah are we referring to then? Ilei Mahai Stama, do we mean the following Stam Mishnah?
Aloha to Stam Mishnah is Rabbi Yechanan's rule?
Is Rabbi Yechanan's rule, yes, that's what we're saying.
He
I don't know if he invented it or whatever, but that's his rule. That's his rule, we know he holds.
Then you're saying Stama Achreina Ashkach is really, it's not a fixed...
What he's saying is, as long as you have a Stam Mishnah, then you have the halacha is going to be like it. If you have two Stam Mishnahs, then you can pick which one you're going to follow. It's like they say, a person with one watch is a lot better off than a person with two watches, because one watch, you know what time it is. Two watches, unless they're exactly synchronized, you're always going to have a bit of a suffix which one. So that's okay.
The problem with saying two stammers.
Right, so it means, in other words, you can pick which stam you think he follows then, but at least you have to have Okay, so. Ditna, Ilei Mahai Stama, are you going to say it's the following Stam Mishnah? Ditna, and we learn in a Mishnah in Pesachim. Now, we know the Torah says you're not allowed to break a bone from the Korban Pesach, the Etzem Leisish Meruvoi. Then you have, on the other, the Torah also tells us, you're not allowed to leave over from the Korban Pesach, Leisish Sidum Menu Ad Berker. So the Mishnah says, Avalam Moser Batar. So first the Mishnah says that a person breaks a bone from a Korban Pesach that was brought Batara, then he's Chayiv Malchus. But then it says, Avalam Moser Batar, but if he left over meat from a Torah Korban Pesach, Vashurva Batame, or if he breaks a bone from a Korban Pesach that had become Tame, where you have, after all, the Korban Pesach can be brought and even eaten the tumma, uniquely among all korbanos. So in those cases, Ein Eloika Asarboyim, he doesn't get malchus. The breaking the bone in the tumma one is because the Gemara learns from a pasuk. It says, V'esem loisish v'ruvoy means only in it, meaning only in one that's tahor. But why is he not getting malchus? The Mishnah is saying that he doesn't get malchus for leaving over from a... So that's the thing. So the Gemara is going to say, V'shleim ashoiv v'tumma, So we understand why if he breaks a bone from a Tomei Pesach, why he's not getting Malkus, the Pesach says, don't break a bone in it. And the in it is a mute, but kosher of the apostle means it applies only to a kosher, a Korban Pesach, and not a possible one. And therefore, so it's not possible in the sense that you can eat it, but it's possible among regular Korbanos. And therefore, the concept of breaking the bone doesn't apply to it, or at least he's not chayav malchus for it. Avla most of a torah my timer, but why is he potter if he leaves over from a torah pesach? Wasn't he over on the iser loyse sidum menu breaker my timer? Why must that be? Lav mishum behaver lav shein memaisa must be because the lav shein memaisa v'chol lav shein memaisa in loykin olam, and because then you don't get malchus for a lav shein memaisa. So there you go. There's a stam mishnah which Rabbi Yochanan can use for support for the idea that a person doesn't get a malchus for a lav shein memaisa. I, our Mishnah, contradicts that. No big deal. At least you have two stammers, and therefore Rabbi Yochanan can pick which one he wants to follow. The problem with that is, how do we know then that Mishnah follows the opinion of Rabbi Yaakov, the Omar, lav shein memaisa in loikin olav, where he's the Tana who says that a person doesn't get a malchus for a lav shein memaisa, dumer Rabbi Yehuda, maybe actually that Mishnah is like Rabbi Yehuda, or mishum de bar kos of litin esa achaloisa se. And the reason why is potter when he leaves over from the Korban Pesach, not because the lav shein memaisa, but because, as we learned in Marcus, this is a lav anitek la'esa. The Torah is telling you an esa following the loisa to say, in other words, you did this loisa, now make up for it by doing the esa instead. Namely, Titania, holav hochi, and if it weren't for that, lucky. Then, in fact, according to Rabbi Yehuda, he would get Malkus Titania, as we learn in a Braisa, which we also learned in Malkus. Loise sidum emenu ad boker, vahanoise emenu ad boker, ba'ish tisturi. For the Pesach says, don't leave over from the Korban Pesach, but if you did leave over from the Korban Pesach, then burn it in fire in the morning. The morning actually means the morning of Chol Hamoed, because you can't burn it on Yom Tov, or whatever. Bar kosav litin esa achaloisese. With that, the Torah is giving you an esa following a loisese, loimar, and the purpose of that is in Loikin Olav to tell you that a person does not get Malkus for it. Dibre Rabbi Yehuda. That's what Rabbi Yehuda says. That in other words, he would be saying he would have gotten Malkus because, even though it's a lav shein memaisa, leaving it over as a passive thing. He's not doing anything, but only because the lav anita klasa does not save him from Malkus. Rabbi Yaakov says, no, loyman hashem uzeh, that's not why he doesn't get Malkus. The reason he doesn't get Malkus, elam hashem to have a lav shein memaisa, because it's a lav where there's no maisa involved, because it's a passive thing, the lav shein memaisa in loykin olav, and that a person doesn't get Malkus for such a lav. That being the case then, how can Rabbi Yochanan say that there you have a stam mishnah, that he doesn't get Malkus, and why doesn't he get Malkus? Because lav shein memaisa, that would only work according to Rabbi Yaakov's understanding of the mishnah. According to Rabbi Yehuda's understanding of the mishnah, the reason he's not getting Malkus is because of lav shein memaisa. Well, that wouldn't apply over here because by a shavua's victory, there's no, it's not a lav shein memaisa. So you're back to the question then. If our Mishnah is going to go according to Rabbi Shmuel, and we're going to say that according to Rabbi Shmuel, he is chayav Malkus for a shavua's victory, lahaba, even where it's a passive thing, even where it's oichal, he says, I will eat. V'loy ochal, he didn't end up eating, and the Mishnah is saying that he's chayav Malkus, because we're saying the shtayim shein arba is all cases of Malkus, Rabbi Yochanan would have to follow that Sam Mishnah, and he can't use the Mishnah in Psochim against that, because the Mishnah in Psochim is not necessarily addressing the case of lav shein memaisa. So the Gemara says, you're right, Elahai Stoma Ashkach. Rather, we can say Rabbi Yochanan found a different Stam Mishnah. Later in our Masechta, we have a Mishnah, Shavua Shaloi Oichal Pikerzu. Suppose a person makes a Shavua, I won't eat this loaf of bread. Shavua Shaloi Oichalena, then he swears again that I won't eat this bread. V'ochla, and he eats it. Eine Chayev Ela Achas. Then he's Chayev only one Malkus for it. There were two Shavuas. But as we're going to learn later on in the Masechta, Nishva L'Kayimus HaMitzvah, there's no such thing. When a person makes a Shavua to fulfill a Mitzvah, then he's Mushva V'Oimin Mahar Sinai. He's already besworn from Mahar Sinai to fulfill this Mitzvah, and therefore his Shavua has no effect. So that's one of the differences, as we'll learn. When we get into the third paragraph, we'll talk about some of the differences between Nedarim and Shavuos. That's one of the differences. So when he first made the Shavua, I will eat this bread, at that point he has a mitzvah. Now he's Mushpa Minat Torah to eat it. Now when he makes a second Shavua, nothing happens. And the Mishnah says, Zu he shvus bitri shachayovan al zoyna kor shachayovan al zoyna makas vashigas a korban olav yodin. That is the kind of shvus bitri of which when a person does it memezid, he's going to be chayev shvus bitri lahaba, where he's going to be chayev. He's going to be chayev malchus if he did it b'mezid, and a korban olav yodin if he does it b'shoygin, because there was an actual maisa. He said a shvur that I won't eat this bread, and he did eat it, so therefore there was a maisa, so therefore he's chayev malchus. Now, the implication seems to be, zuhi d'chayavon al zdoina makas, aval oichav loy oichav loy loki. So the Mishnah seems to be implying that if it was the other way around, if the shvur had been, I will eat this bread, and he didn't eat it, then he wouldn't be getting malchus. Well, there you go. Why wouldn't he be chayev malchus? Can't say that it has anything to do with lav on nitik la'aseh, like we said before. Necessarily, it's because lav she'en le'maisi, you don't get malchus. There you go. So Rabbi Yochanan has a stam mishnah on his side to say that a person doesn't get malchus for lav she'en le'maisi. So therefore, he's not bothered by our mishnah contradicts that. Okay, our mishnah contradicts it. The fact is, you have later on a mishnah that follows that idea that you don't get malchus for lav she'en le'maisi, and therefore Rabbi Yochanan can follow that. Well, the Gemara says, in that case, Mechti, well, we must consider. The fact is, we have two Sam Mishnas. How is Rabbi Yochanan just picking one of them? Tosfos also points out, why can't you say it? Because that's Ras Suffolk. So the point is, Tosfos says, now we said according to the Shlokish, you could have it. It's a case of Asura Suffolk, right? Because every moment they can tell him, eat it, they can tell him, you gotta eat it, and if not, you're gonna be Chayiv Malchus, and throughout the day, there's never a time when you're gonna have a proper Asura for it. But Tosfos says, fine, you could have, let's say, he says, I swear that I will eat this bread, and then immediately he goes and throws it into the ocean. So now they can give him Malchus right before he throws it, and then he throws it, Tosfos Kedibur, and he can be Chayiv Malchus for that, and nevertheless, the missionary is implying he'd still be potter. So the question is, fine, but if you have two stam mishnas, mechti, high stomach, my chodid to ovid ka high stomach, levid ka high stomach. Well, then how does Rabbi Yochanan have the ability to pick one stam mishnah and the other? Why taka doesn't he? If you're going to say that our mishnah is like Rabbi Shmuel and say that it implies that a person is getting a malchus for a lav she'en memaisa, well then, indeed, maybe Rabbi Yochanan should follow our mishnah and say that a person does get malchus for a lav she'en memaisa. Why instead is he picking the Mishnah later in the Masechta and saying, well, we can deduce from that a person doesn't get Malchus for Lav Shein Memaisa, what makes one Stam Mishnah stronger than the other? Well, the Gemara answers, well, you're according to your Svara that you're even asking the question. You can ask on Rebbe himself, Rebbe Gufe, Hechi Sosim Lon Hocha, Hochi, Vahocha, Hochi. How does Rebbe himself give a Stam Mishnah in one place, one way, and the other way, and the other way? So Ella, we necessarily must say mitzchila meikra sover lav she'en memaisa loikin olav. Apparently, Rebbe started with the opinion that a person could get malchus for a lav she'en memaisa, and therefore ustama, and therefore he put a stam mishnah like that. V'hoder sover ein loikin olav. Then he decided in the end that no, a lav she'en memaisa, a person does not get malchus for it. So in other words, in terms of the mishnah from Psochim that we quoted before, first he held like Rebbe Huda, that the only reason a person is potter for leaving over from a korban Pesach is because of lava nitik la'aseh. Later on, Rebbe decided, like Rabbi Yaakov, that actually the reason is because lav shein memaisa, the sosma, and he put a stam mishnah like that. And fine, o mishnah le'zazim emekoyma, the mishnah doesn't move from its place, meaning, in other words, because people were used to already learning the mishnayos. People were already used to learning the mishnayos with this lashon, and therefore they left it that way in the batei medrash, and they didn't change it. So that's it. In other words, actually, the Yad David points out that it means, in other words, that Rebbe himself, what we're saying is, Rebbe himself didn't change it because he himself changed his mind maybe at the end of his life, and he had already publicized the Mishnah Rishonah, and therefore he didn't have the ability to go and inform everybody to change it. But well, there is quite a bit of discussion exactly what was Rebbe's role in terms of the Mishnah. There is a lot of evidence that much of the Mishnah Mishnayos existed in their current form before Rebbe, and that Rebbe only finalized it. So according to that, the Mishnah Rishonim may go back generations before Rebbe, some say even as far back as the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah, and therefore there's not really the ability to change it L'Achar Maisa when everybody is used to learning it this way for generations upon generations. So therefore, so yes, sometimes you'll have two Stam Mishnayos contradicting each other, can't be helped, that's just how it is. But therefore, Rabbi Yochanan has good reason to say that the later one represents Rebbe's final opinion, and therefore that he can follow that and say, on the basis of that a person doesn't get Malkus for a lav shein
b'maisa. Interesting. Who's to this problem about Rabbi Yochanan choosing over Samus is Beya.
Beya.
First sugya with Nachman and Muksa. Rabbi Yochanan holds that, like Rabbi Shimon, said, what does he do with the Mishnah?
Right.
The Mishnah is the
he points out that the Mishnah,
found the Mishnah at the end of Shabbos.
Mm-hmm. Right.
The Rasha shows how his Shitase made him choose that Mishnah.
Mm-hmm.
It means Nachman had a chiddush that he was mechadish,
mm-hmm.
and Rabbi Yechanan was going to Lestam on his straight path, but Nachman was the one who wasn't so honest.
Okay. Well, here the Gemara is saying that Rabbi Yochanan himself is looking at the first versus the second one and saying that the second one represents Rebbe's final opinion. So now, we haven't yet finished the sugya. The Gemara is going to still deal with, and we'll work on it tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem, that does our Mishnah in fact follow Rabbi Shmuel exclusively, or is there a way to make our Mishnah work according to Rabbi Akiva? And we would really prefer to, because Stam Mishnah is usually appointed a mayor, who in turn, well, he was a Talmud actually of both Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva, but primarily he was a Talmud of Rabbi Akiva, so we're going to deal with that whole point tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem.
Yashikayach.
Rahmatullah.